Worried about your future in tech? Master new skills, accelerate your team's impact, and redefine what's possible with Pluralsight. We're more than just another online learning platform. We're shattering the skills gap and shaping future generations of technologists. Transform your work. Transform your team. Ready to tap in? Visit us at Pluralsight.com to learn more.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Wall Street Journal. Jobs slowdown hits stocks. Fuels bets on bigger rate cut. Dow drops hundreds of points. Investors worry about weakening economy. There's also a line on the Wall Street Journal. The traders love this. Jobs slowdown will ignite debate over half point cut. I welcome Gene Marks, who's not anxious about anything. He reports on small business, which is America. The business of small business is America. And we're looking at small business that always is ahead of where we're going. They always know before markets know. Markets are 9 months. I would say the crystal ball that Gene commands is as far ahead as you want it to be. Very cautious small business. And we're going to begin with the jobs report today that showed a softening economy. Gee, Gene.
What a surprise.
Wonder where they found this idea. A softening economy. The Federal Reserve is now being yelled at. We're not going to yell at them. We saw this coming for quite some time. So what are we going to do?
Yeah, we've been talking about this for a while, haven't we?
I was beginning to think, it better do something. Well, they did it. They did it. They softened the market. Now, why? Because the cost of money is the highest in decades. What is to be done? Good evening to you, Gene.
John, we're seeing what we and I have been talking about over the past few months. I mean, the data coming from a lot of small business surveys and reports that I read and have been reporting on, as well as my own client base, has been showing a pullback in hiring. There is actually less people hiring than before that run businesses. There are less open jobs. We've seen a significant pullback from about 12 million to 8 million open jobs on the market. Nobody seems to be paying attention to that. And also, by the way, there's reports of a lot of these open jobs that are out there. A lot of employers are admitting to the fact that they have, they're ghosting these job, openings to show that they're doing better, or to show their employees that they're actively looking for people to grow their companies when they have no intention of doing so. It's hard, and the cost of money is high, and it is weighing down on small businesses. Getting loans right now are expensive. Growing companies are expensive. There is a lot of uncertainty out there, particularly with the elections coming up, as to which way public policy is going to go and tax policy, John. And that holds back on a lot of small business. Remember, we've said it 1,000 times in our conversations, small businesses employ more than half the workers in this country. So to see a slowdown in hiring is not that surprising. But I will temper this much, John. Whenever you look at economic data, you can't just take 1 month in isolation. So yes, we've had a slowdown this month. The Bureau of Labor Statistics have gone back and revised downward jobs that were added to the economy over the past few months. I get all of that. So we're looking at a trend to see if this slowdown continues over the next few months. So I'm not the stock market might have a knee-jerk reaction, but I'm not ready to all of a sudden say, the economy is starting to really get into trouble just because of 1 month of slow jobs growth. Well, we got to wait and track this over the next few months and see where the trend is going.
Well, it went for the glass half full. It went for the soft landing. It went for the rosy scenario and ran it up. It's the nature of the algos. I don't blame the market. I want to go to the Federal Reserve right now. Mr. Powell has waited until September because there's no meeting in August. He can move inter-meeting, but he's not going to. So they're talking about a half point, which before they were only talking about a quarter point. I can't tell, Gene, because we're in a political season. A half point would boost the market, or at least would anchor the market, and would be seen as a bow towards the administration in some fashion. So this is all tangled up, which is why we have to do anecdote. We can't do the politics of Washington. Let's go to anecdotes, because you're very good at this, about how America actually feels. You were at a meeting in Orlando with the National Association of Co-op Accountants. This is wonderful. Okay. Is somehow we get to a dairy farm. How's that, Gene?
Well, the conference, there are about 700 people in attendance for my presentation, another 300 online. So you had 1,000 accountants out there. What a wacky and wild time. And these are accountants at co-ops. So, you know, just again, just, you know, for those of you that are listening and not that familiar with what a co-op is, you know, a co-op is where a bunch of companies get together and form an organization that basically becomes a buying group, you know. So the co-op, you know, there's lumber co-ops. So if you're in the lumber construction business, you join a lumber co-op and you buy your lumber through the co-op. And because the co-op has got a bunch of members, they get economies of scale, if that makes sense. So there's utilities co-ops, there's dairy co-ops, ag co-ops, you know, from the agriculture industry, a bunch of them. And, of course, there's accountants that have to keep track of all this stuff. I spoke to them this past week. They seemed to be a jolly group of people. People were in a fairly good mood. You know, nobody was crying or yelling, mainly because co-ops themselves are nonprofits. They are diversified in the sense that they all have, you know, dozens, hundreds, or thousands of members. So they, you know, they don't go through the kind of hard times that an individual business goes through. And some of the co-ops there are related to the government, broadband co-ops, utilities co-ops. They're seeing money flowing in from the CHIPS Act, from the Inflation Reduction Act. So it wasn't, it was not hard times. And my overall discussion was just about the general economy and workplace issues. But nothing really to report about the co-op industry, because there's really no such thing as the co-op industry, John. You know,
what about AI? Are they interested in artificial intelligence, the magic?
So I spoke, I spoke a little bit about AI is going to impact, you know, their businesses, and it's really an office impact. I mean, they're not manufacturers, they're not, you know, builders. It's not like they're going to be buying robots that are being powered by AI. Their biggest thing is they're going to be using, you know, products from Microsoft and Google and accounting products as well that are going to be leveraging AI. And, you know, the warning that I gave them, which is what I just learned, we've all learned as business owners this year, John, about AI, is that it's still very, very immature. And I know we're going to talk a little bit more about AI, but, you know, my advice to these people is have an AI policy. Don't go crazy with AI yet. You know, dip your toes in the water and test. We see where it's going, but, you know, just keep your eyes open with it right now until we figure out when this stuff actually starts working.
If you have a small business and you're worried about AI, you'll be comforted by this item in the Wall Street Journal. Google fails to wow as AI bills mount. Alphabet CEO Sundar Pichai at a Google event in Mountain View. Advertising business, that's Google, faces tough growth comparisons while AI spending continues to surge. In other words, we're buying it, but it hasn't paid itself off yet. Now, if that's true at the Google level, do you hear this, Gene, in general?
Yeah, I'm seeing it, and I'm hearing it, and I'm actually seeing it in real life. And, John, where you and I are having this conversation in early August of 2024, mark our words, and for all of your fans and listeners, you can make a note of this, that I am saying that we are going to enter into an AI bubble. And that bubble is going to burst. There have been billions of dollars invested in AI applications, companies, startups around the world. And it's been overspent because AI itself needs some time to develop. It needs some time to be trained. It needs some time to be adopted. And similar to the dot-com bubble, I think we are going to be seeing a lot of companies sometime in the next 6 to 12 months run out of funding and really suffer, because AI is absolutely fantastic stuff. It is absolutely going to be changing the world eventually, but people have very short-term memories and short-term expectations, and we're not going to see that. John, I just wrote for Forbes, you'll see on Sunday, a piece about Apple coming out. They've delayed their AI change. They had a big announcement for it at their last developers conference just a month or so ago, that there's going to be all sorts of AI in the iPad and the iPhone and the Apple products, and now they're delaying it. And I'm like, good for those guys. Apple realizes that their AI right now, their applications are still not ready for prime time. And so they're going to delay until they're actually, you know, working and working well. And it's a shame that both, you mentioned Google, it's a shame that Google and Microsoft didn't do the same thing, because both of those companies have released AI applications, Microsoft Copilot, Google Gemini. They're not great, John. They're really not great applications. And the technology is too immature. They're charging for it. I personally feel, and this is just my opinion, that those companies are misleading their customers, or they're telling them to buy into these Copilot and Gemini AI applications that really are far below. And one final thing. We're preparing for our company a demonstration of Google Gemini for Google Workplace at the end of August. And, you know, we've got a bunch of people sign up because I'd like to help our clients implement Google Gemini for Workspace. John, it is this demonstration. We're literally going to have to pre-record it and stream it because we're terrified about doing it live because it is just so unstable and unreliable. Just to give you an idea of where the technology is right now. So listen, I mean, the takeaway for a business owner, John, and for you and for me, play with it, you know, and get used to it and, you know, get up to speed with it. But for goodness sake, don't rely on it or don't think that it's going to have any substantial changes to your business yet. We're still a few years away from that happening.
My business is communication, and I use Claude out of Anthropic. So I want to testify a positive. Claude and I have a correspondence. And I submit all of my text to Claude and say, no format change, Claude, just copy edit, because he loves to do summaries, or it loves to do summaries. So the other day I put in Afghanistan because I report on it, and I wrote since 2003. It, for some reason, that clicked in my brain. Claude writes back very submissively, I think you mean 2001. I was impressed.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's getting smarter, right, John? And it's getting stronger.
Yes.
I told you before we started recording, I worked on a proposal and I had ChatGPT help me create a logo for the proposal, and it did a great job. And I can rely on that because it's just a logo, just like you're doing your research. But we're talking about using AI to you know, rely on to send customer communications or analyze our business or automatically perform functions and tasks that we currently have employees doing. There, we are nowhere near relying on this technology to do this stuff yet. I still think we're a few years away from it being reliable. But, you know, what you're using Claude for, what I'm using ChatGPT for, it's awesome. And it's time-saving and it's fun. I think that's what we should be doing.
Yes, I no longer write straight to text. I always write on Claude and then cut and paste.
Yeah.
Because the copy edit, as long as you tell him no format change, he loves to come up with his own version of your text and then criticize it.
I'll give you another example, if I may. I mean, I'm speaking to a group of process equipment manufacturers in September, and they want to hear some thoughts on international, you know, market opportunities. I know, and I have some thoughts, but I'm on ChatGPT. And I'm having a whole conversation with ChatGPT about opportunities for manufacturers internationally, where to go, what to do. And it's providing me with really good information, which it cites, and then I check to make sure that it's accurate and reliable. But it's super helpful for people that are, you know, thought leaders to round out their thoughts and validate their thoughts and then present them to other people. It's really a great tool.
We're in an election cycle. We're going to move to small business. Gene Marks is a small business columnist for The Guardian newspaper, UK and US edition, as well as the Philadelphia Inquirer, hometown newspaper, and other distinguished publications. When we come back, the new candidate for the Democratic Party, presumptive nominee, when and if it happens, will get a headline. Kamala Harris and taxes when we come back. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, and Emory Education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.